Deep snow, big chill.
Shoveling, driving, slippery, a little dangerous.
South Korean court finds ferry captain guilty.
And sentenced him to 36 years in prison.
Apple's security flaw.
A lot of folks are very likely affected by this.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. From Big Sky Country into North Texas, millions of people are dealing with bone-chilling cold. And in parts of the upper Midwest, the effort is on to clear a foot or more of snow. Jesse Schwartz lives in White Bear Lake, Minnesota.
Just finished our fall cleanups for the fall leaves and stuff, and yeah, did not expect this much snow. Not at all.
It's hitting early, but this Minneapolis commuter sounds like a woman at the end of her winter rope.
It's just so tough. It's just, I don't know, it's just such a pain.
At least two deaths are blamed on the treacherous conditions caused by the ice and snow. Nina Moyney of WCCO-TV in Minneapolis.
The big concern this morning are the temperatures, which have dipped here overnight into the low 20s, causing roads to freeze.
It's a little scary. Always the first time because people are relearning how to drive on snow.
Vehicles littered the sides of roadways with more than 700 accidents reported.
Came early, so we're going to have another long winter like last year.
And this batch of snow won't melt anytime soon. Forecasters say daytime highs in much of the upper Midwest will stay below freezing into next week. Overseas, President Obama is in the midst of 2 days of meetings with China's president in Beijing. Leaders at the Asia-Pacific summit are said to be closer to a trade deal. CBS's Peter Mayers with the president in China.
Centuries after it was built, it's really not a stretch to say the Great Wall symbolizes today's Chinese policies. Just as the wall was used to guard against intruders, China remains wary, especially in dealings with its chief economic competitor, the U.S. President Obama hopes to break through today's wall of doubt in talks on trade and other issues. The goal, at least a promise of cooperation. Peter Mayer, CBS News at the Great Wall of China.
And the White House says Mr. Obama held three brief discussions with Russian President Vladimir Putin today on Ukraine, Iran, and Syria. Also in Asia, the captain of the South Korean ferry that sank back in April, killing more than 300 people, most of them students, has been sentenced to 36 years in prison. Reporter Jason Strother in Seoul says some believe that punishment is too lenient.
South Korean media have been quoting family members present at the courthouse saying that this was a travesty of justice, that they are heartbroken, that they've lost faith in the judicial system. Many of them wanted to see the captain be put to death or at least face a much longer sentence in jail.
Other crew members got 20 to 30 years. Convictions ranged from homicide to negligence. Here at home, the only person still being treated for the Ebola virus has recovered, has a clean bill of health, and heads home today. Dr. Craig Spencer has been treated in New York City, where Mayor Bill de Blasio says
he's suffered a lot these last few weeks, but he's come back really strong.
Spencer tested positive for the virus after returning from treating Ebola patients in West Africa. Casey Hickox, the nurse who challenged Maine's quarantine rules, no longer has to go through daily monitoring. The 21-day incubation period for her is over. She and her boyfriend now plan to move. He's a nursing student who they say was forced to stay away from school when she returned to the state. On Hawaii's Big Island, that moving river of lava has claimed its first home. It took just 45 minutes for the empty home to be destroyed. John Bird was one of the people who lived in it.
Our wait's kind of over. You know, it's like, okay, we can close the book on that because the house burned finally. But it's going to affect a lot of people for a long, long time.
Officials say that house will not be the last one to go, but the flow of lava has been unpredictable. Apple has not commented on a security flaw experts say they've found in the company's iOS software on iPhones and iPads. CNET's Brian Cooley says it can allow hackers to get sensitive information, then try to entice people to download malicious apps.
We keep telling people, don't click on a link in an email, let's say, to go to your bank. They never do that. This is the same thing. Don't click on a text or an email or a web link that says, install this cool new app. That's when you can get stung by this. If you get all your apps from the App Store, then you're safe.
Google has agreed to pay just over $1 billion over the next 60 years to rent a huge part of the former Moffett Field Naval Air Station in the San Francisco Bay Area. Three hangars will be renovated for projects on robotics and space exploration. Uncle Sam has a project for states, and it has to do with spreading the wealth when it comes to top teachers. CBS's Vicki Barker joins us with more.
States have until June to ensure that their poor and minority children are not taught by a disproportionately high number of inexperienced or ill-qualified teachers. Now, that guarantee is already federal law, yet America's educational playing field remains uneven 8 years after states were last told to address the problem. Although one big teachers union supports the directive, other advocates fear it's so imprecise that states will be able to avoid full compliance again. Steve?
A new report is out on the death of comedy legend Joan Rivers. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
New York State health investigators found the clinic where Rivers went into cardiac arrest made several mistakes. Medical staff didn't notice and intervene fast enough when her vital signs deteriorated. They failed to weigh Rivers to decide how much anesthesia to use. Medical correspondent Max Gomez explains.
Elderly people metabolize drugs differently, so it's especially important to know the appropriate dose for an elderly person.
Rivers stopped breathing during a throat procedure at Yorkville Endoscopy and died from brain damage. Federal regulators have given the clinic until January 7th to fix problems. Heather Bosch, CBS News, New York.
Well, businesses around the country are serving up freebies for the people who served in the military on this Veterans Day. Some top restaurant chains offer free meals. National parks have waived entrance fees today. And there's an increasing push for employers to hire vets. Howard Schultz at Starbucks has been vocal about this. CBS's Jim Taylor takes a look.
33% of companies in America surveyed by Career Builder actively recruiting veterans.
This is up 6 percentage points over 2013. It's up 13 percentage points from 2011.
And Jennifer Grass says the unemployment rate for all veterans is currently more than a point below the rate for all other workers. But
37% of veterans said that they didn't know how to write a resume after leaving active duty.
And she calls that one of the greatest challenges facing those coming out of the military today. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
A World War I memorial has been unveiled in northern France.
It's the first monument to feature just the names of the war dead, with no mention of which side they were on. Historian Yves Lemaire is the man behind the project.
All those young men died for nothing, and they are reunited in a posthumous brotherhood.
Among the 580,000 names, an Olympic champion, a Tour de France winner, and a Canadian nurse, one of just a few women among the names. Also there, German infantryman Paul Mauck and William Hesford from Boston, both just 15 when they died. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Notre-Dame-de-Lorette, France.
Philadelphia rescuers scrambled yesterday to see if there was anyone inside a red Corvette that was spotted in a river. There wasn't. Turns out a man in the midst of a divorce allegedly drove the car, his wife's, into the river and took off. Police say he will face charges. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kaif, CBS News.